sometimes when you look at things like Confucius and some of those Eastern philosophers and stuff like that, that there's so much that is passed down to the world to talk about. And then so much of the history we have is because fantastic enough that
Hola.
All right, welcome to another episode of the Joe and Doug Show. We're talking fasting today.
Yes.
Because are you ready for this? We are going to fast, and we are going to break our fast on Thursday night, and we're going to do it with some bone broth and treats that Joe's bringing.
Treats.
Trick or treat.
It's a trick.
Yeah. So we're going to dive into that. So talk about your preparation the last couple of days,
okay,
and I'll give you a glimpse into my okay preparation.
I totally lied, and Sunday I did not ramp into this, and usually I do, but this time I decided to yesterday have pizza.
Oh.
And then I had a pizookie.
Ooh, and Alia.
And then I had the Brussels sprouts.
You had to balance it out.
I did. But it was good. And I thought, you know what? This is going to make for a better analog for what other people's experience would be. So yeah, I'm hopped up right now on carbohydrates.
Nice.
Go ahead. What's yours?
So yesterday? Monday. So this is my dilemma, is I sort of eat breakfast and then I go through it almost to dinner most of the time. Today I was like insanely busy. And so my wife had some bacon and eggs for dinner. So decent dinner. Breakfast, I had these like organic fig bars that we get for the kids because I had to run out the door. And that was what I was having for breakfast. So that's what I've eaten today. What did we have yesterday? I don't remember.
Okay.
I think it was chicken and broccoli, Chinese food or something like that.
Okay.
Because we had Chinese Sunday after church. And I said to Sam, I was like, this is our last like...
And, hurrah.
Yeah. So we're standing in the kitchen today and I'm like, so did you prepare? Like, you know, I didn't try not to eat any candy. I tried not to, you know, I think I had a Snickers bar at one point, a little fun size one, but I said, you know, you got to cut that stuff out is what Joe's saying. And I said, so, you know, none of this. And she goes, when was I supposed to start that? I was like, he said Sunday, you did listen to the show, right? You know, we had this whole conversation and she's like, oh. So it'll be interesting, but yeah, we're excited to do it. I think she's going to do it with us tomorrow.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's really cool. And so I just had a meal. I went home between shows here and I had some sausage and peppers. And so that was my final frontier meal because I did not eat since yesterday, the pizza. I went all day without, and then I wanted to have one little tiny meal before we got going. Yeah. So
get into the mental game. Going to bed tonight should be fine.
Yes.
Tomorrow people are going to wake up if they're fasting with us and talk about what's going to happen throughout the day.
Okay. So the first thing you're going to want to do is, because you are totally allowed to have water and you can do black coffee, really, I would probably fill your stomach up with water. Okay. Have some coffee like you normally would, but then round it out and have just water. So you have a full feeling. It's not going to last all that long, right? And you'll probably just have to pee really bad when you get to work. But you want to use water as your analog to kind of like just trick your body into thinking that it's eating. So if you have like, oh, I'm kind of hungry,
drink
water. Oh, I'm a little bit hungry, drink. Just keep plowing in the water. I don't think I've known anybody that's died from overhydration. I mean, it might be possible. I'm not a doctor. I just play one here. But yeah, I don't think you can overdo it on water.
Yeah. No, I think that'd be, I don't know. In every weight loss program I'm in, they're like, drink half your body weight in ounces. And I was always like, do you know how much I weigh? Like, that's a lot of ounces.
Right.
And, you know, I'm like, that's like more than a milk carton. You know, like you start getting into some of that stuff.
That was kind of daunting. When they say that, you eyeball up like a gallon jug of water throughout the day, and it gets to be hard. Now, if we were playing football or baseball outside, that thing would be gone in 30 seconds.
Exactly. So they're going to wake up. They're going to drink some water, some black coffee, and they're going to do that throughout the day. Where is the hard part going to come in?
Okay, so you're going to have a blood sugar decrease throughout the day. And hopefully you took my advice and you didn't get a bunch of refined sugars in your body. So it should sort of like slowly recede, because your liver has enough stored glycogen in it to get you through for a day and a half at least. So you're not going to die at all. It's impossible.
Okay.
When your blood sugar goes down, you might sort of get a little shaky. You know, you just be prepared that, you know, don't flip out here. Now, again, if it gets unhealthy where you start thinking you're going to pass out or black out, go get some food, right? Don't go that. But if you just feel like you're a little weak or a little bit shaky, you know, kind of dial back the caffeine intake, maybe a little bit. That'll help with the shakiness. Mm-hmm. But by, you know, midday to lunch, you're going to really start feeling it. Now, the big feeling is going to be going into dinner. That's going to be the one you're going to have to sort of like mentally try to overcome. Now, I would still go through the psychological motions of eating, like instead of just drinking the water as like you're walking around, sit down and have your water along with meal and pace yourself like you had the meal. Yeah. And so it doesn't feel like you skipped the meal and something's missing. Same thing with dinner. But if you can make it to bed at this point,
you'll be fine.
Then you're on your way home, because the worst part of this is going to happen when you're sleeping. You're going to wake up the next day and repeat the process a second time.
And so day two is not going to be nearly as tough as day one, or is there still going to be?
You're going to have basically the same bouts, but they're going to be they're shorter in duration. So it's going to be like, it's going to perk up. You're going to throw some water at it. It's going to know the drill by that point, and you can, you know, just get to your next one.
And so throughout this process, what's happening in your body? So you start fasting tonight, go to bed, you wake up tomorrow. That's pretty typical. It's most nights for everybody. But you don't eat breakfast. What's going on in the body? You don't eat lunch. What's happening in
so you're again, like the initial one is where your blood sugar dives. And once you get beyond that, your liver is going to release as much energy as stuff that you need to create energy in your bloodstream. And it's going to be kind of consistent, but your body's going to release ghrelin as sort of like an advanced emergency that you need to eat. And it's basically just a chemical that tells the brain that it's going to die if it doesn't eat. And you just basically got to wait until that kind of goes away. And that's why you go through the psychological things to outmaneuver what that ghrelin is warning you. And if you're sure you're going to die, then yeah, do something about it. But if you're okay, right? Again, you got a day and a half, 2 days worth of actual glucose in your liver, you're going to be fine.
Yeah. So what are some of the psychological hacks that you use when you're fasting, other than the water and black coffee kind of mentality, to do that when you feel hungry? Do you keep yourself busy? Do you go for a walk? Do you veg out? Do you try and sleep more? Like what does Joe do when he's fasting?
So I used to use things to like, because some of it's going to be oral, where you don't have any consistency going in the body. Like people are used to chips and crunches and meat and all that kind of stuff. And when you're drinking water, it's not there, right? Yeah. So my big one used to be wax, where I'd take some wax and just chew on it. Because you can't do gum, right? Because you're going to get an insulin response. But wax, you're not actually going to do.
Interesting. Even in zero calorie gum, you get an insulin response?
You do. Yeah. You get. Yep. And so when you do wax, you know, it's not going to degrade. You're not going to die if you accidentally swallow some of it. And you're going to go through the motions of chewing like a substantial thing. And then you just spit it out when it's done. And they sell this oral wax that you can get for braces and whatnot.
Okay. So you use an oral wax hack. Is there any mind games that you play with yourself?
Staying in your normal tendency. So like if you sit down for dinner, grab yourself a plate. You're not going to be eating anything off of it, but go through the motions as if you just had a dinner. And a lot of times if you get caught up in, if you basically all you talk about is how you haven't eaten in forever, you probably don't want to do that with your family.
That's a big psychological point, because when you cut something out of your life, you know, if you're going to, hey, you know, I'm done with social media or I'm done with whatever. And then you're like, you know, what's going on Facebook? What's happening? You're like, obviously you're going to go back on. And the same way, you just sit around and talk about how hungry you are and man, that was such a good meal yesterday. And I can't wait till this is done and I can eat X, Y, and Z. You're not going to make it to the end. You're going to end up eating something.
Yeah. And social engagements too, with people who don't understand, like you might get temptations from people like, come on, you just have a little, right? Yeah. And so, you know, I usually will, I know it's going to be tricky. I kind of bail out of social engagement. I know that's not hard for me anyway.
No. Right?
It's just an extra excuse.
No, it's true though. Robbie, the shoeless prophet, right? As we call him, that attended our church for a long time, lives in Texas now. He came back from Israel and with me, and he went on a fast, and we went out to lunch, and I had no idea he was fasting. And there was like five or six of us, and they wanted to hear about the Israel story. So I brought him to talk Israel, and he comes to that lunch and like a champ. did not eat. And I was sitting there like, dude, I would have never taken, I would have scheduled this for coffee and we could have sat and had coffee in my office rather than put you through this. He goes, no, he's like, I fasted enough. And he's done some long ones, to know I can sit here at lunch and talk about Israel and, you know, the trip and stuff. And, but I felt, cause we went to like an Israeli restaurant and we got like all the food that we were talking about. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. Like I felt like such a jerk, but he didn't warn me. I didn't know. And he was like, well, you know, it is what it is. And I was, you know, but I've seen other people that are like, oh, you know, I'm fasting. And then, you know, something comes up and then it's like, and then it throws everything off.
Yeah. And really what you overcome is the things that your body's response to it, like the blood sugar drop, you're going to feel like crap. When you get the ghrelin release, you're going to feel like crap. When you jump out of one of your normal routines, you're going to feel like crap. So if you already decide what you're going to do when that stuff happens, you just go and do that. But it means that sometimes you got to go to Rite Aid and grab some supplies so that you'll be, you know, totally ready.
Yeah. So checklist for anybody who's going to start fasting. One, always go with your doctor. If you're on medications, any of that sort of stuff. Joe and I are not medical professionals by any means. Talk to your doctor, do whatever they tell you to do. Two, you need to prepare for the fast. If you prepared and you're ready to do this, great. Know that black coffee and water are game on. How about like Gatorade, fruit juices, any of that sort of stuff?
No, so much sugar that, yeah, you'll be out of it.
Defeats the purpose.
And really, if you break the fast, you have to really start over again. And because the fast is the deprivation of, you know, that insulin response completely. And the sensitivity is the benefit of that is what we're really after.
So nothing but water and black coffee.
Right.
Anything else? Just water, black.
You know,
coffee.
I've heard lemon, like green tea, green but the tea? Yeah. If you brew it yourself, there's no problem. If you take any of that pre-made stuff, there's a chance that there might be some additives that might break it.
Yeah.
So I'd be a little bit more careful because they have a tendency to put extra ginseng and whatever in there. So you gotta be careful. Sense.
So black coffee, water is the safe bet. Breakfast you should be fine. Lunch you should be okay. Dinner's gonna be the hard part. You need to have some. You need to have a strategy for it. Cause if you don't have a plan, you're going to slip up. You need to know, all right, when I feel hungry, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit down with my family and have dinner, have conversation. I'm going to have some mental games to play with myself. I'm going to chew wax, whatever it is I got to do in those moments to kind of get through the fast. And then you're going to go to bed and then tomorrow you're going to wake up and you're going to repeat the process. And that's pretty much the checklist. What does Joe hope happens for him? So like I have some spiritual goals during this time. I know you say you have spiritual moments, but you don't go in necessarily with like
for
this
that
is
in
what
mind.
I hope to get
right.
out.
Yeah, and it's a practice for me. And when I do my longer one, just like I stretch my capabilities where I push on something that ends up being hard, I feel like I want to get a couple more hours than I did last time to see if I can stretch that part of me. And you know, like I said, half the time I don't make it to the 72 hours. This is only gonna be a 48 hour, but I may push a little bit longer than that to see if I can get to Friday or if I can get all the way through Saturday. So,
yeah, cool. So I know for me going in a lot of times from a spiritual standpoint, when you fast, you'll have certain goals. And so like, I know that, I'm planning on spending some time with my wife tomorrow. We're going to pray. We have some specific things that we want to hear from God on. And so the clarity of, all right, I don't have to eat. I don't have to clean the kitchen. I don't have to do any of that. I can set this time aside to do this. You know, I know for me going in, sometimes if your expectations are like, this is what I'm going to get from this, you get really disappointed. And so what you're saying is, hey, I come in and I've had spiritual revelation during fasting, but if I get it or I don't get it, like I'm still in it.
Yeah, exactly. I let it happen. I'm open to it happening. It's not a prerequisite.
Yeah. And I think that's interesting because one of the things I hear as a pastor a lot of times is like, well, I tried to fast, but I didn't really hear anything from God, or I didn't get the answer I wanted, or, you know, wasn't any different than normal. And then it's like, well, just throw fasting out. I'm like, there's a purpose and a discipline to the fasting, that's mind, body, and spirit. And just because your spirit didn't engage this time doesn't mean it won't next time.
Right.
And maybe this time your body's going to kick your butt, but next time maybe your body's going to engage in a different way. And so I don't want you to get discouraged if you're going into this being like, all right, I fasted before, pastor, I'll join the fast, or I want the health benefits. And maybe your body is like, no, you're not going to do it. Eat something. Like, and I think that's you said, I just let it happen, but that's the mentality is it's not que sera, sera, like whatever will be, but it's, I'm doing this because it's valuable and it's important. And the results that come out of it are also going to be valuable and important, whatever they may be.
Yeah. And even if it's not every time, right, it's sometimes, and it's willing to go through the process to fetch that thing that doesn't happen to everyone.
Yeah.
And so I have a blood sugar meter that I bought. I'm in ketosis and in fasting often enough that I want to see what my blood sugar does at different periods to see how my body
acts.
Your
finger
I prick my finger, put it on a little strip, put it in the machine, and it tells me what my blood sugar is going on. It lets me know if it gets super low or it gets super high. And I will tell you, my body, no matter what I put into it, is so resilient about staying very steady no matter what. Mm-hmm. Even after a meal, like I could totally do the carbs and my body is really good still about sustaining really slow drops and slow ramps up.
Everybody that hates Joe right now, please put it in the comments.
I just got banned from YouTube for being resilient to insulin. Nice.
Yeah. that's great. I think for the people that are hesitant to fast and they're kind of going to watch the distance, they're going to, watch our show Thursday and they're kind of taking it in. What maybe an encouragement for a first step? You don't want to do 48 hour. Maybe you don't even want to do 24 hour. What's a way that somebody could start, the process of fasting, testing that kind of out on their body?
Intermittent fasting has some health benefits too. And I think a lot of people will try to create an eating window and a non-eating window. And, a popular one is that you have a 6 hour window where you do all of your eating and then an 18 hour window when you don't. And a lot of people will take the time with their sleeping and then build, like, let's just say you sleep 8 hours and you're going after 18, go five on one side and five on the other. And it's really easy, especially if you like eat at the first part of your window and don't eat it and eat at the last part of your window, you could make it to 18 hours pretty easily without feeling a whole lot about it.
Interesting. And I know that's a big diet thing right now that a lot of people are doing, lifestyle switch. And you're saying that actually has some health benefits. What are the health benefits that you're
It's the same thing. Like there's a magic hour of the 17 hour that your body does some cool stuff, where it's allowed to, start some cell repairs and do some, do some clear out of your intestines and whatever. When you come to a close like that, your body just goes into a different mode. And we don't usually get to see that mode unless we do an intermittent fast.
Interesting. I've heard a lot of people losing weight on it and stuff. And my one younger brother did it a bunch and, has sworn by it and really likes it. I wonder for, the average person sitting out there, they're thinking like, you got the kids that eat nonstop. My kids are, Abraham, I hungy all day long. And you got kids that are, and so through that's the challenge for mom and dad. Like, I know that's going to be the tough part for Sam being home tomorrow, particularly. It's going to be tough because she's like, kids all day long are going to be, can I have this? And can I have that? The 3 hours while they're all at school, she's going to be fine. But as soon as they come home and I got to get them peanut butter and jelly and I got to get them, whatever they're having and don't put that, don't
lick the fingers.
Don't grab a chip.
Right.
That's the challenge with that. When you're always, processing with them, even if it's good stuff, it's still the challenge of parenting.
Well, yeah. And you ever notice like when you're at home, you eat more than if you're out doing stuff. So if you're stuck 1,000%, there,
I'm so much better on my regimens and my lifestyle stuff and my diet and all of that. Monday to Thursday, Friday's my day off. And so Friday, it's like, maybe I'll, and as soon as you don't have a plan for it, if I'm not getting up and cutting the grass and, if I don't have a regiment for Friday, yep, and it's just like, I'm going to stay in some sweatpants and hang with the kids for a little bit and veg. And then it's like, that looks yummy.
Yeah. And it's not even real hunger that it is. It's mostly boredom.
Yep. Absolutely. Does boredom do anything chemical wise? I know you're really big into the serotonin, cortisol, what your body does on the inside. I'd be curious to know if boredom releases any of those chemicals that drive hunger, because people tend to eat when they're bored. So I would imagine they would, and if there's a way to combat that.
Yeah, no, I don't know what the answer is. I don't know, but I don't know what response the natural body would be combating when it's not doing anything. Maybe it is that, maybe there's a flight response in there. They're thinking, that you have no food and you're going to die. And maybe that's it. But I don't know.
Yeah. You're sitting so good on top of the world. You need to get out and hunt something.
Right. Yeah. Kind of well, and think about it too. Like when we're not doing anything else, we have a tendency to watch TV and sometimes we get drawn into the moments on the TV and then you do get a cortisol response and it's not your reason, right? It's the TV's reason.
That's really good. And how do colors affect the way that people eat. So I know marketers use colors very intentionally. You know, one of the things that I remember years ago, you know, if you look at fast food restaurants, name me one that doesn't have red in the logo. You know, name me one that doesn't have fast food, that doesn't have plastic hard furniture that's bolted to the ground, because they want you in and they want you out. You're not staying. This isn't a hangout. We don't want you to be here for 12 hours. You're coming in. The faster we get you in and out, we make our money.
Yeah.
And the red drives hunger. You know, people paint their kitchens red for that reason, and other stuff. Is that true for, you know, most folks are driven by those colors, or
I think really? Subtleties, like if you're teetering on the edge, then, you know, red represents some danger, and then you got cortisol, and then you got hunger that comes after, you know, the cortisol development. So I don't think it's like, it's not somebody who's on the right path and is not teetering. That's not going to throw them.
Right.
But if you're close, that's something that might push you over the edge.
Yeah. And then it's interesting when you look at the other colors, like blue and purple, certain colors are calming, certain elevate certain things. I've seen, you know, in the 90s, it was like the thing to like paint your creative space orange because it supposedly, you know, bursts creativity. Every time I walked into an orange space, I'm like, whoa, that's like orange. I can't stay in here for very long.
But it might make you a Browns fan, and then depression follows.
Yeah. Hey, there are a lot of injuries yesterday. Speaking of the Browns, I feel bad because I have Kareem Hunt on fantasy.
Okay.
And it's not looking good for him. And I don't know.
Trade him up, man.
Yeah, I don't know if Baker's going to play Sunday, but Josh Allen's my starting quarterback, and he's on a bye. And so Baker was supposed to be playing for me, and we'll see. He's questionable right now. I know it's the same shoulder, but I don't know. He's dinged up.
I don't know. 60-yard pass on, you know, one limb. So,
yeah. I like him. I think he's got it. He's got that kind of Tony Romo, you know, kind of feel to him. Anyway, how do we got on sports? Stick, leaf, rock. And then coming out of the fast, when I've done it in the past, I have not done what we're going to do Thursday. But when I've come out, I'm like, let's go. And you eat a whole bunch of stuff and you're blood sugar goes up and all of that. The best way to come out of the fast is slow, and you should pick the right foods. We talked a little bit.
Remember,
about this.
You got like a sweet spot here where your body's compensated by that point. It's dealing with the lack of, you know, substance or sustenance of things that you've eaten. Whatever you throw at it, it's going to really start to, you know, embrace. You're going to absorb more of what you're going to. So if you do really dense, thick, you know, vitamin, mineral concentrations and leafy stuff and whatever. So you let your body ease back into it so it can absorb and it doesn't just like push it out the other end. And again, your biome, your gut bacteria has pretty much changed at that point. Yeah. So you can start growing new of the gut bacteria.
Now, do you take your supplements when you fast?
It's a good question. Not all of them, because some of them are pretty hardcore.
Yeah, and they can mess up your gut.
Yeah,
certain medications the same way. Like
I'll still do my B, my vitamin D. Sometimes vitamin C. Sometimes vitamin C is a little off. I don't do any of my zinc. Don't do any of my immune system stuff. So usually just B and D.
Okay. So you can do some supplements, but you want to be careful it doesn't jack up your gut.
Yeah, and that's just by trial and error. Like there's some stuff that I could probably take because it's not supposed to, but for me, it's just, you know, I don't like it.
So. Yeah. For people that are on medication, it's a question I get a lot from a spiritual standpoint. You know, like, should I not take my medication? Should I take it on an empty stomach? What if I'm supposed to take my medicine with food? Do I just take a cracker and eat it and take my medicine and do that? Like, I don't know. What's your thoughts and advice? Obviously, talk to your doctor. But
right.
This is us spitballing as total not medical professionals.
Yeah. My question would be the medication, whether or not it's just rough on your stomach and that needs food to, you know, to not upset you versus it needs stuff in your stomach in order to react. Like sometimes there's medication that reacts to either a base or an acid in your stomach. And if you don't have that, then it's not going to do its thing. So that's a doctor question for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's just that it upsets your stomach, I mean, you take your medication and you puke it up and then, you know, you take it again, I guess. I don't know. That's probably the worst medical advice imaginable.
Please don't do that. Talk to your doctor. Awesome. No, it's always a challenge. You know, a lot of people are taking blood pressure medication, or they're taking diabetes medication, or different stuff like that. And a fast can be really good for somebody with diabetes or high blood pressure or whatever. And to navigate that you're going to need to talk to your doctor because you know all the different specs and he's going to know your points on your blood work and it's probably not a good idea. Or, you know what? Sure. Don't take your medicine and do that. So make sure, you know, if you're on medications like that, to check in with your doctor.
Because your body might react differently under those circumstances. So yeah, I'd definitely share and get a strategy put together. And I don't think your doctor is going to say, don't do it because this is sort of like
it'll
healthy exercise.
It'll be a how to.
Yeah.
Right. This is how you can do this safely. And so,
if basically you need some more time to get yourself set, don't think because you can't do it with Doug and I that it's off limits. You go strategize and do it at a different
time. Next week. Whatever. Yeah. So then, coming out of the fast, you do a fast once a week, roughly, and then you do a big one once a month. Do you do it the same day? How do you pick your days? If somebody wants to start making fasting a habit for themselves, what does it kind of look like?
So I used to start a fast on Wednesday because if I was going to develop a headache, it was going to be going into the weekend and I wouldn't miss work because of it.
Smart.
And now I don't get the headache portion of it yet. So I do Tuesday. And then, you know, on my Wednesday would be my foggy day and I don't have broadcast stuff to do where I need to be on my game. So I pick Tuesday to Thursday usually just for that reason.
Smart. I know for me going into tomorrow, I have work and all sorts of stuff as you do. So I'm not as worried about the work day. My worry is about 4 p.m.
Yeah. What happens around 4 p.m.?
That's where I usually somewhere between 4 and 5:30, I get to come home and the kitchen smells like heaven and kids are all sitting down at the table. That's my witching hour. So maybe I'll have to like go for a walk or do something
or go to the park and then they can eat and you can go play off to the side. It's going to be beautiful tomorrow.
That's true. And I don't know. I'm looking forward to this. I haven't fasted in probably about 2 years. It's been a bit of time. Again, all of my fasting up until this point was all very spiritual driven. I wanted an answer for something and I knew I had to block some things out and I had to go into that space where now I'm like, well, this is mind, body, spirit. There's some things I'd like to hear from on, but I'm interested in the how's my body going to respond. I'm interested in some of this stuff. So I'm planning to, you know, jot down some notes and stuff for the conversation Thursday. And hopefully we'll be able to have Dr. Mike on, if not Thursday, maybe next Tuesday.
I switch. Remember I told you I had the check my messages message on here every hour that come up so that I pick up my phone and I can, that worked out really well. And then I started putting some motivational things in there that would come up every hour and reminding me if I was taking advantage of time really. Right. Mm. So through this, maybe you put something here and a reminder of why That's you good. Started doing this so that like at the top of every hour, it's like, suck it up, buttercup. I'm like, yep. Okay.
So when I lost 70 pounds in 2017, I had my alarm set every 2 hours to make me eat, drink some water. And it was a program that we were doing. I think it was every 2.5 hours. And, you know, you had these calorie laid out bars and shakes and stuff like that. And, with the alarm though, it got to be like, you know, Pavlov's dog. I almost didn't need the alarm by month 3 or 4. In the beginning though, it was super helpful. And so it might be, you know, using a tool like your phone for fasting encouragement, or, you know, even if you're doing something else to encourage you, you know, I have a quote in the back of mine on my drive, but I've heard of people that will get phone cases made with their like top 10 affirmations on them, or they'll design something to go as their, you know, cover on their phone so that they see it and it's always in front of them because they're always looking at it. I'm like, that's really smart. Yeah. So yeah, I totally use that for fasting.
Well, and I think what you can do during these things is let's take fasting out of the equation, but self-control is what a lot of people have trouble with. And this exercise is how much can you tell yourself in spite of not feeling good or not wanting to do something, can you continue to do it even when it gets a little bit tough? And that exercise, you can have the ability to like, you know, not spend money when you really want to, and you know, not eat something that you really want to, and not gossip how you didn't want to. I mean, you can get a lot more under control than just, you know, the fasting thing.
I know you know this.
Yes.
But there's a scripture. And in Galatians, Paul gives us the fruits of the Spirit, one of them being it's joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, one of them being self-control. And I think it's one of those things that it's not even like so many people are like, I'm going to control myself. That's not what it's about. It's creating the right headspace so that you don't even have to think about it. It's creating the right routine and the right behaviors and the right posture and atmosphere and heartbeat to make the product that you're trying to get easier to get to. Self-control is not, I tell guys now, coaching guys through, I don't want to look at pornography. And it's like, if you sit there and stare at your computer and be like, I'm not going to look at pornography, I'm not going to look, guess what you're going to do, right? That's not right. Self-control. Self-control is, all right, I need to set up an atmosphere where I'm able to be in better control of myself. And so maybe that means I have to put additional passcodes on it. Maybe it means I have to set up certain guardrails for my life. Maybe I need to have certain accountability. I think the same thing's true in terms of, fasting or any of this sort of stuff, going to the gym, finding the right atmosphere puts us in a place where we're more self-controlled.
Yeah. And people take that sometimes as an accusation that you can't control yourself and somehow that you should be embarrassed that you can't.
Welcome to humanity.
Right. I mean, if we're all fallible and we all make those mistakes, and I'm not embarrassed of the mistakes I make, but what I do, the only thing that I have in my control is to make the things I want to do easier and the things I don't want to do harder. Right. So if I make the chocolate cake closer to me, then I've chosen that I tempt myself into what I don't want to do. If I make chocolate cake really freaking hard, like being at a store six states away, that's showing me that I don't really want to do that. So I'll watch people align their environments and I can tell you, right, what you want to happen, regardless of what comes out of your mouth.
It's so good. It's like, so I mentioned, I don't know if it was a show or two ago, my wife doesn't keep soda in the house. And I will align my world sometimes to have soda in the house. We'll have people over or whatever. And I'll be like, oh, we'll get drinks. And she's like, oh, pick something up. And I'm like, great. I'm going to buy soda for them.
Right. For them.
And it's like, oh, they didn't drink that. Go. And it's so funny because that's 100% true. You will have the environment you want to have. You'll justify it however you want to justify it. Right. But, particularly, I look at that sort of instance, but we could take that into any arena. The atmosphere you set up and the way you do that, you're like, oh, I'm doing this for them. No, you're not. You're doing it for you and hoping they're not going to use it or not going to eat it or not going to notice it. And it's funny, the longer I've been married, my wife knows my tendencies and I know her tendencies, and I'll be like, oh, I'm going to do da da da. And she goes, oh, for them. And I'm like, all right, maybe I shouldn't do that. deep down we know, our own criminal, if you will, our own, person that's,
but this practice, I'm real big when I stretch my capabilities is that I develop depriving myself of the things I want. So it's not in control of me. That's really what it is. Self-control means that this coffee, it has caffeine. It's going to make me want to drink it. So if I feel like one day I did something that I didn't want to do because it controlled me, that's when I'm like, screw it. I'm not drinking coffee for 3 weeks. I'm going to show it that I'm in control of it. And that's everything, food, finances, all across the board. Nothing controls my behavior, not even fear. Fear's a big one, right? So if you react out of fear, I'll be like, no, screw it. I'm going to sit right here. And if you want to take my skin off, go for it, right? But I'm sitting here in spite of it.
That is so the way to combat fear too. I can remember as a kid being terrified of the basement and, monsters down there, the only way I could muster up the courage to go down there was in my head, I would say, screw it, you're going to kill me, whatever, the monster's down there, he's going to eat me, whatever, but I'm going. And once you put that switch on in your head, you can do anything.
Heck yeah.
And you even think about it from like a church standpoint or a business standpoint. You go into a meeting with a big client or customer. You know what? Screw it. What are they going to do? Leave? Whatever. Like, I'm going in. I'm going to do my best. And once you align the not necessarily worst case scenario, but you disarm the worst case scenario that's trying to make you fear and worry in your head. And you say, you know what? Yeah. So what? They can go. That's fine. Jesus actually does this. It's wild. In John chapter 6, I'm going to be using this passage in 2 weeks on Sunday. He's teaching on communion. And he does a really hard teaching and talks about, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. And people are like, what? And he was saying like, we have to be so close. We have to be a part of one another. And people were like, well, this is too hard to accept. And a whole bunch of people walked away and he's got his 12 disciples sitting there. And he looks at them. He goes, you guys can go too, if you want. And I love that. It brings such comfort to my heart sometimes because he wasn't there to placate them. And I don't know if he was feeling fear or not in that moment, but if he was, he disarmed it by going, hey, you guys can go too. And they were like, no, we're not going anywhere. And he has this kind of cool moment with them at the end of the chapter. But, that's so true. The way to disarm fear is just to call it out and do it anyway.
Yeah. And if you get the practice of getting more of that is to give into it, and then you're training it to how it is controlling you. So it's sort of like a weaning process that, this fasting thing, you're you want to eat and you know that you can survive it. And that's really all the information that, that you need. Yeah. You do it long enough. You're like, oh, if I can do it with food, something that I think will kill me if I don't do it, can I do it with pornography? Can I do it with you know, whatever.
Yep. 100%. Well, we're going to fast. Don't be afraid to fast with us. And we are going to do that over the next Wednesday and then Thursday back here on the Joe & Doug Show. We are going to break our fast together and we're going to talk about what we went through, headaches and all. So,
but it's going to be none of that. It's going to be awesome. Be perfect.
And we get treats.
There you go.
So it's going to be good. See you guys back here. On-
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.